Well, this morning I've got a word. I feel like it's, I want to speak to the church. I like to have a word that connects with everybody, and I believe this will as well, but I want to speak specifically to the church today. And you know, in the Bible, the New Testament, it speaks a lot to the church. There's a lot of instructions to the church. There's epistles to the church, instructing the church in certain cities and in different places. And the gospel, it's there's four different gospels that details the life of Christ, about his cross, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And we see the book of Acts in the Bible about their early church. And there's so much is written to the New Testament church. And I want to jump into Hebrews today. And I believe God is speaking something to us this morning. So we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We're going to start there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. If you were there, say, assembly required. Assembly required. Amen. And it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to stop there this morning. One little scripture. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people today. Lord, I thank you for just stirring a passion inside of each and every one of us today for each other and for you, God, and for your spirit, Father. So we just thank you for the word today, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for changing us today, energizing us, Father. We leave forever changed because of what your word and your spirit this morning, Jesus. So we just thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm sure all of us could agree that 2020 has been kind of a crazy year. It feels like we're living in a sci-fi movie. I'm just glad Will Smith didn't have to come save us on Independence Day. It's just been one of those crazy years this year has been. I think we've had enough events this year to make up for the whole decade. I think after 2020 can just all stop. We've had enough for the next 10 years with all the COVID and the quarantine stuff and the riots, the social injustice, and just all these things we're seeing kind of culminate together this year. It's been kind of a crazy year, and COVID's really been kind of it's been a disruptor, it's been a revealer, it's been an accelerator. Things have just come to the surface, and things have just changed throughout this year. But one of the things, COVID's been kind of a revealer to me as well. You know, when we shut down the past few months ago back in March, and at church we weren't able to gather. And, you know, we're doing church online, and I'm so thankful we were able to connect that way and connect online. And I know for us worship leaders, we just see you all standing in front of the TV or your phone worshiping, but a lot of us, let's tell the truth, we're in bed just laying up, looking at our phone worshiping that way. I'm sure that's probably 90% of us. But, you know, I'm so thankful we were able to connect online and do church online, but it didn't feel the same to me. It's still, it's like I begin to miss you and gathering with you guys and seeing your faces, and it just wasn't the same. There was a dynamic that was missing, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm glad we were able to and have that, but it just led me to a deeper appreciation to gather and for the house of God and for the people of God. It just led me to have a deeper appreciation. Sometimes when you don't have it, you begin to appreciate it more. You take it for granted sometimes when you don't have it. And I believe every believer, we should have appreciation, love and appreciation for the house of God and for the people of God. I do believe that. And I understand not every believer has that. And David said this, let's magnify the Lord together. Magnify the Lord together. There's just something when we come together as believers, we begin to experience the presence of God in a supernatural way. Not that you can't experience it yourself, but it's different when we get together, we experience the presence of God. It's like when we get together, we link up and we join hands, and your faith connects with my faith, and we begin to corporately worship God together in one song and one voice, and we open up the word of God and share it together. It's different. It's like the intensity turns up a little bit. Because there's some things you can only get through a corporate expression, not just an individual experience. There's some things you can only get corporately that you cannot get individually. There is a corporate anointing, and there's also a personal anointing. There's just some things you can't get by yourself. Because when I enter in with you, we connect together. There is a corporate anointing that I come under, and everything goes to the next level. We come together. And we begin to encourage one another and draw strength from one another, inspire one another, love one another, admire one another, support one another, begin to pray for one another. There's joy that is released. There is hope that is released. Oppression begins to leave. Demons begin to flee and tremble. When we get together, all hell begins to shake and heaven begins to shake when we come together. So what are you saying? I'm saying this, that there's power in presence. There is power and presence. When believers gather together, there is a power there. There is a power. I truly believe that. When we gather together, this is what it says in 1 Peter 2:5. It says, you are lively stones built together into a spiritual house to become a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You know what it's saying? That you are a lively stone and I'm a lively stone. We are lively stones. And you know what happened when we came into this room this morning? All the stones came together in one place. We came together in one place, and the corporate anointing went up another level when you came into this place this morning. Because I walk under a personal anointing, and so do you. But when we come together, when I join with you, I step into a corporate anointing that's far greater than any personal anointing that I can walk in. That's why God doesn't want you to be in isolation. Like I might have came in here drained this morning. And when I connect with you, your faith and your worship begins to lift me to a whole nother place. That's why the enemy wants to isolate some of you, to get you alone, to get you disconnected, disjointed from the body, because he can weaken your faith. And once that happens, you begin to lose your being, begin to lose yourself. He wants to isolate you. So you try to fight your own battles by yourself. And there's just some things you can't do by yourself. It's a lively stones coming together. It's not one stone that makes the house of God. This is a spiritual house. It's not a physical house. But when we get together, it's a spiritual house. It's multiple stones, many stones coming together that make the spiritual house of God. You know, the kingdom of God is meant to be a corporate expression, just not an individual experience. It's meant to be a corporate expression, just not an individual experience. Because what we've done is we've taken the Bible, and we've taken all the promises, most of them, and individualized them. We say, you know what, it doesn't matter if you get your promise as long as I get mine. But the context of the Bible, most of the promises have been written to the corporate, not just the individual. And we won't step into the fullness of what God has for us till we recognize that the kingdom of God is meant to be expressed through a corporate expression, just not an individual experience. The greatest shifts you can have in your life is moving from me to we. That's the greatest shift you can have in your life. When you move from me to we, because you're created for community, you're formed from family, you're fashioned for fellowship. We need each other. That's one of the greatest shifts you can have, moving from me to we. And can I just say this morning? Can I just say the greatest thing you can do for yourself and your family is get connected to the body of Christ. Get connected to the house of God. Get connected with the people of God. I am so thankful that I had that, because if I didn't have that, I might lose my mind and just lose myself in it. But because I have the ability to gather and connect with the people of God, man, it's kept me centered. It's kept me on the path where God has for me. And I know I'm preaching to the choir today. I really am. I'm preaching to the choir today. But I'm thankful for the house of God, the people of God. It's one of the best things that you can do for yourself and for your family is get connected to the house of God, the people of God. That's one of the best things you can do. Because if we're going to survive everything that the world's throwing at us, I mean, 24/7, we're getting hit, bombarded with stuff, negativity, social media, the news, constantly hitting us with stuff, thousands of different ideologies coming against us every single day. It's like, I just need a time where I get around a group of believers corporately and worship in the presence of God, get in the word of God, hear the word of truth, be surrounded by other believers. I need that throughout the week. I need that to keep me centered, to keep me focused, to shift my focus on God sometimes. Sometimes we need that. You know, in the Old Testament, there's something the Lord established called the Sabbath. He established the Sabbath. Sabbath is a day of rest. It was a holy day. The day they took off work. It was a day to commemorate the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And they had a day of rest. And it's an Old Testament idea. And in the New Testament, there's something called the Lord's Day. And this day is the early church celebrated Jesus and his resurrection on that day, defeating death, hell, and the grave on Sunday. That's one of the reasons why we gather. They came to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And that's one of the reasons why we gather. It should be a celebration. We should come in this place celebrating Jesus' victory, that he's defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's made us victorious in him. It should be a celebration every week when we come in here. It's like, oh, thank you, God. You're so good. You are victorious. You've made me victorious. You've made me an overcomer all throughout the week. It's just stuff that happens God's doing in our lives. We should come in here and say, God, thank you. It's a celebration when we get together. And I don't think gathering together, I don't think it's optional when I look at the Bible. And in fact, I think if you're a born-again believer, you should want to. You should want to be a part. You should want to be a part of it. It's not a take it or leave it kind of deal. But I think sometimes we like our Christianity a la carte. That's how we like it sometimes. We get in the Bible and we begin to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like and what we want to do. And isn't that how we live sometimes? And that's not how it is, because the Bible's written to us. Each and every one of us, from cover to cover, it leads us and instructs us. And it's not about how I feel. It's not even about what I think sometimes, but it's about what God said. Yeah. The Bible says there's assembly required. We have to assemble. We gotta gather. We need each other. We can't do it alone. Can't live in isolation by ourselves. We need each other. I want to read this out of Acts, the Church of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This is the early church, the first church. And it says this, verse 42, Acts. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. I just want you to see there, this is all the believers, not four, not eight, but all the believers got together. And it says they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, bed in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They were meeting together, going from house to house, and God was blessing them. God was moving in their midst. They were comforting one another. They were gathering together, worshiping corporately together. They were meeting one another's needs, loving one another, supporting one another, praying for one another. And it says that God was adding to them daily. The church was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know it's supposed to get bigger. Yeah. It's like sometimes you're like, I don't like it. It's getting so big, but it's supposed to get bigger. I know at the same time, the bigger we get, the smaller we got to get to stay connected, but God's heart is for it to get bigger. Yeah. They were meeting together and going from house to house. I think we need both of those when we gather, not just here, but house to house. They were gathering together. There was life that was exchanged, strength that was exchanged, comfort, support, encouragement. They were one heart, one mind, and one accord. And God was adding to them daily, every single day. We're called to assemble. And I think there's sometimes we have excuses for why we maybe don't, or we'll say not come to church, if I can say that today. And I just want to give us four things just real quick. Just sometimes they're excuses. That's what they are. I'll just call for what it is, for not to gather. And I'm not, please hear my heart today. I'm not trying to be religious or, you know, correct anything. I'm just trying to instruct what the Bible, I believe, is saying to us today. But one of the things I'm hearing, you know, you hear right now is just, we're just not comfortable coming back to worship just yet. And before I go any further, let me explain myself here. Because you're like, what is he saying? I'm not talking about the people who have compromised immune systems or have legitimate health issues or, you know, have a concern about being around elderly people or everything that's going on with COVID. I'm not talking about that. They're a part of us. We love you. You are connected. But what I'm saying is people are just saying, you know, we're not comfortable coming back, but you're at Disney World.
Yeah. Say it.
I came to preach today. I mean, you say you're not comfortable coming back, but you're in Walmart fighting with people for an hour because you don't want to wear a mask. I'm not comfortable coming back, but I've been to every restaurant in Terre Haute. I've been to the Outback. I've been to Lone Star. I've been to Cheddar's. And I'm just going to say this one time. I'm going to move away from this right now. We might have to bow our heads and close our eyes after this. We're going to pray. But I'll say this. If you can go to Cheddar's, you can go to church. I'm just going to say that this morning. I'm moving on. Moving on. Second thing is I do church at home. And I know we've had to do that throughout these few months, but it's not the same dynamic. God's made a dynamic that I didn't make up. And there's just a difference just doing it in church at home. I mean, Stephen Furtick, I know you may love him, but he's not going to come pray for you. He's just not. There's God's omnipresence where he's everywhere. There's God's indwelling presence, but there's also God's manifest presence. And when we get together, we experience the manifest presence of God. You can't just get that all by yourself. We experience it. God begins to speak and God begins to move when we get together because the church requires the church. It requires the church. I mean, if we can come over to your house, all 200 of us next week, we might be able to have church, but if you can only have 10, that's not all of us. The church requires the church. We are all lively stones coming together. Third thing is there's hypocrites in the church. Some people's excuse. It's hypocrites in the church. You ever heard that one before? Get all religious. But you know, Jesus was leading a small church of 12 people and one of them betrayed him, Judas. The other one, Peter, said, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll follow you anywhere. And he didn't even make it out of the court and denied him three times. What is that, a hypocrite to say one thing but to do another? I mean, based on your definition of why I can't go to church or gather because of being a hypocrite. I mean, Jesus would have invited you into the 12, you would have said no. I mean, is there hypocrites? Yes. Is there religious people? Yes. But Jesus died for them. I mean, you probably used to be one before or still are. So Jesus loved you and redeemed you. So let's make room for hypocrites. The next thing is I had a bad experience at church. I had a bad experience. Did you see the way they looked at me? You know, stuck their tongue out at me. Did you see? Can you believe that? Had a bad experience at church. And oftentimes we have a bad experience. We're like, we're done. I'm done. But you know what? You probably had a bad experience at the doctor and you went back. Yep. You probably had a bad experience at the restaurant, maybe Texas Roadhouse. Didn't get your rolls, but you went back. I mean, I love the rolls. That happened to me one time. It's like, really? That's what I came here for. But we have a bad experience at the church and we're like, I'm done. You know what that is? That's an excuse. Yeah. It's called for what it is. It's an excuse. It's an excuse. Here's a good analogy. God is always good. Sometimes people stink. Can we say that today? God is always good. Sometimes people stink. Sometimes I stink. Sometimes it might be the one stinking or you might be the one stinking. But we got to be able to have a line of separation that God is always good because the church is not perfect because we are a bunch of imperfect people and it gets messy sometimes. This is your opportunity to grow in love and to love one another and stick with it and say, you know what? I'm committed to a group of imperfect people that have given their confidence to Jesus. No, he's going to make him all that he's called him to be. You just got to commit yourself. I'm talking about committing yourself to a group of people. I just want to give us some reasons today why we are to gather faithfully as the church. Gather together. First thing is, gathering faithfully as a church, it shows my priorities. It shows my priorities. You know, God's got to be first. I believe that. God's got to be first in my life. And I'm not being religious this morning. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying you can't do this or do that. I know we're busy sometimes, and I get that. I'm not trying to be religious today, but I believe God has to be first in my life. That's why I try to be here every single Sunday, and I have for my whole life, is because this is an opportunity for me to honor God with my time being here. You know, some calendar Sunday ends at the end of the week on calendars, but some calendars, it begins on the first day of the week. And my Sunday begins on the first day of the week and saying, God, this is my opportunity to serve you, to honor you, to give you my time. And I believe God's got to be first in my life. And I make up my mind that he's first in my life, that you take precedence over my schedule, over my plans, over my personal time. And you are preeminent, your will, your purpose, your plan for my life. God, you must be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, I grew up in church, and my dad, he's probably watching today. We never had a choice whether we went or not. We had to go. Whether you felt like it or not, you don't, my dad never asked me, he's like, you feel like going? I was like, no, he never did that. You would have felt something else probably if you would have asked that. But we went, no matter if we felt like it or not, unless you were visibly sick. I mean, you had to have legitimate sickness happening, like temperature, throwing up, something like that. We went every single Sunday. But it taught me something. My parents instilled something in me of faithfulness. That this is a priority. God's people is a priority in our eyes. We're going to go serve. There's other things we could be doing today. And we're going to go serve the people of God, serve in the house of God, making God first. That puts something inside of me. And I begin to value that. And I watched my parents. I played sports growing up. I have nothing against sports. I played AU basketball. And they told the coaches on Sundays, like, he's not playing today. We have a commitment. We have a priority in our lives to God's people. And I'm not against sports or any of that today, but I'm saying it did something in me when I got older. And I remember when the first job interview that I had, and I desperately needed a job. I really did. I was living off a college fund and Top Ramen. It was terrible, but I needed a job, and they were getting ready to hire me on. And I'm like, you know, you can work me any day except for Sunday. I have committed that day. I have priorities that day. And I'm like, I really need this job. I hope this doesn't go south on me. And I didn't have to work a Sunday. And I know some of us can't help it. I'm not trying. This was me. But I never had to work a Sunday in my life because this is a priority to me. This is commitment to me, to God's people and gathering together. It's got to be a priority. Gathering faithfully together as a church shows it's a priority in my life. David said this, passion for your house has consumed me. I'm praying to get a passion. All I'm trying to say today is you need God's people. You need God's house. You need God's people. I pray that we get a passion for each other, not a building. A passion for one another. He said this too. I was glad when they said, let us go down to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Are you glad and excited?
Come on.
Glad and excited? So I think if we're not, you're either lost or you're broken. If you're lost today, God can save you. If you're broken, God can put the pieces together of your life.
Yeah.
Pray that we get a passion. Passion for one another. Just trying to say that we need God's house. We need God's people. When we gather faithfully, encourage spiritual growth in my life. You're going to grow. That's what it says in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You know, this is an equipping center. This is a training center where we grow, where we're equipped for the work of ministry outside of these four walls. That's where the real ministry happens, outside of these four walls. You might be a school teacher. You might be maybe a nurse, but the real ministry happens outside the four walls. But this is the place where we get trained and we get equipped in our lives, where we begin to grow and develop our spiritual gifts that God has placed within us. It's a safe place for you to grow. When you get planted, you begin to grow and you begin to flourish in your life. It's a place where we can grow. Gathering faithfully encourages spiritual growth in my life. You're going to grow. Gathering faithfully as a church, it keeps me centered. You know what that is? That's a weekly reset. Anybody need a weekly reset from time to time?
Yeah.
I know I do. Sometimes you just start thinking crazy sometimes. I mean, you get out there sometimes and you come back to the house of God and the people of God and it recenters you. It refocuses your thinking. It realigns you, brings you back to center. That's why I'm glad when I get around the house of God, the people of God, it recenters me. It resets me. It keeps me centered. You know, they make cars today. Cars are getting pretty fancy now. I don't know when they're going to be able to fly. We'll see when that happens. I think it's supposed to happen by now, according to Back to the Future. But cars now, they come with something called lane assistance. Anybody have any of those cars? Lane assistance? Okay. I might have one about 10 years. about 10 years behind. But it has something called lane assistance. And what happens in lane assistance, and when you're driving, you get out of your lane, it automatically corrects itself. It auto-corrects. It'll steer itself back in the center of the lane. You know the house of God is? It's lane assistance. When things are pushing me up throughout the week, I come in the house of God, it pushes me back in my lane. It re-centers me. It's lane assistance. Not only do they have a lane assistance, but they have something called collision control. That's pretty bad when we need that. It means if you're not smart enough to, or quick enough to hit the brake, it will do it for you. Save you from a collision. The house of God, it's collision control. Keep your marriage right. Keep your family right. Keep your finances right. Keep your attitude right. Keep every area of your life right. It's collision control. Keeps me centered. Lane assistance, collision control. I need that. What about you? I need a weekly reset. Not only does it do that, but gathering faithfully as the church, it strengthens our presence on the earth. Strengthens our voice. And I think more than now than ever before, we need to have a voice. Our voice needs to be strengthened. Our presence needs to be strengthened on the earth right now. There's a lot happening in the world right now. Things are going on. The church needs to rise up. We need to have a voice. We need to be strong. It strengthens our presence on the earth when we are one mind, one accord, and one heart, and have one purpose and one mission. And when they tell us we cannot sing, we say, you know what? That's not what the Bible says. We are going to sing, and we're going to sing louder than ever before. We need a voice in this day. It strengthens our presence on the earth when we gather faithfully together. Gathering faithfully as a church, it also provides a safe place for hurting people. Hurting people. I don't know how many times somebody's just been driving by and they're like pulled in, come in here, like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know why I pulled in, came in this place, but I felt like I needed to. People are lost, people that are broken. It's like, we know why you came, because God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He loves you. How many people have came in this place because it's a safe place, that are broken, that have gotten delivered, that have gotten saved, that have gotten healed, in a safe place of a community of believers? How many people has that happened just from us being here? It's a safe place. If you're broken, come. If you're hurting, come. If your marriage is broken, come. If your friends have abandoned you, come. It provides a safe place for hurting people to come. The reason why, one of the reasons why I was preaching this message today is Barna Research came out and said that since May of this year, that 1 in 3 practicing Christians have stopped gathering or stopped attending church. 1 in 3 Christians have stopped attending church because of this whole COVID thing. That's 33%. Of believers have said, you know what, we're giving up. We're not gathering. I know we weren't able to before. This was after the shutdown and everything. 33%. That's a lot of people say we're just giving up. We're not going to do it anymore. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as it is some of the manner. Forget not the assembling of yourselves. Don't forsake that. You know, statistics tell us that 33% have given up, but I'm talking to the other 66% today. I'm saying, don't give up. Yeah. Don't give up on gathering, because we need it. We need each other. And the other 33% have given up. We love you. You're a part of us. Yeah. You're connected. We want you back home. You have a place here. We're calling you back home. 33%. The church down the street, the other church down the street. It's a lot of people. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. It's the word assembly. I don't know if you've ever had to assemble a gift for your kids for Christmas time or your birthdays. There's been some gifts I've gotten and it says assembly time, like 2 hours. And it should say engineer degree preferred. It's like, this is a lot of pieces. And it ended up just taking like 8 hours or 9 hours. And it's like, I'm just so frustrated with this thing right now. But you do it all night, so my kids can wake up the next morning and see it assembled. Yeah. You know, God's coming back for a church that's assembled.
Come on.
He's coming back for a church that's together.
Yeah.
A church that's not fragmented, but unified. He's coming back for a church that's together with one heart and one mind and in one accord and one purpose and one mission. And we have a calling to do, a purpose to do on this earth. That's who he's coming back for, an assembled church. What are you saying? I'm saying there's power and presence. I'm saying we need each other. I'm saying we're stronger together. We are better together. The enemy wants to isolate you. But we need each other. You cannot fulfill your purpose by yourself. It takes each other. You're not the whole body, but you are a part of the body. You will not find your purpose by yourself. It takes all of us together to find your purpose, your place, to be launched in your destiny and your calling that God has for you in your life. Let's not give up. We need each other. I pray that God would give us a passion for one another, for his house, not a physical building, but it's a spiritual house. It's the lively stones, us coming together. That we get a passion for each other. I want to pray for us this morning. If we can just stand this morning. Well, Father, Lord, we just thank you today. Lord, we just celebrate the victory that we have in you this morning, Jesus. Came in here to celebrate your goodness, your heart, your love towards us, the victory we have in you, that you defeated death, hell, and the grave, Jesus. So we just say thank you right now. Just position our hearts to thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for restoring us. Lord, healing us, giving us a new life today. And Father, right now, I just pray that you would open our eyes, Jesus. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would have a heart to burn for you, but not also for you, but for each other. Because this life is not just a life of believing, but it's a life of belonging. Yeah. Lord, you've called us to belong to one another. We're created for community, formed for family, fashioned for fellowship today. So Father, I just pray right now that you would give us a new passion, a renewed passion for your people, God. Lord, not that we'd only gather here, but from house to house even, God. We need both of that. Outside these four walls even, that we connect and there'd be life exchange and strength exchange and your heart exchange as we interact. And Lord, and I thank you for many people being saved through us, being touched through us today. So Father, I thank you today, Lord, that we are moving from me to we. It's not just about us, but it's about what you're doing in your heart on this earth, Father. So I thank you today, Jesus, for your heart towards us, your people. I thank you as we gather together. I thank you for us experiencing your presence and your manifest presence and you speaking to our hearts as we gather together, that we'd hear your voice and have one heart and one mind and be of one accord and have one purpose. Moving together, the kingdom of God is a corporate expression. I thank you for the corporate expression today of your believers this morning, your sons and daughters. So Father, we're not gonna give up on the gathering. We're not gonna give up on meeting with one another today. We just declare that today, Jesus.